Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
He conquered hell because he was crucified, you know, paid for sin with his blood. He was dead. He wasn't kind of like partly dead or just kind of wounded and, you know, he still had breath in him. He was dead. His spirit left his body. He was dead. And they took his body and they put it in a tomb. And 3 days later, he's not there. He's not there. Now understand, we don't applaud just because, oh wow, what a great, you know, trick. What a great event. What a great, you know, thing that took place. It's that we understand what that means for us. Say this. What does that mean for me?
What does that mean for me?
Well, I'm glad that you asked. What that means is he has made a way that we do not have to spend eternity away from God and in spiritual death and separation from him. Understand, if we believe in God, we believe in heaven, then we understand that there's a hell that's real. And this is not about a fear-based message, but understand that there is a hell to shun. None of us in here are real excited about dying. We're not real excited about it. We go to a lot of expense and money and get insurance and all these kind of things because we don't want to die. Life is better. We like life. We don't want to die. In fact, you know, this is what we do sometimes for us who are living. Somebody does die that's close to us, and we say, well, at least they're not suffering anymore. We do that to comfort ourselves, but understand this. It would be better for them to linger in life and suffer with sickness than to leave this life not knowing Christ as their Savior. Then suffering never ends. Life and death, it's real. Jesus didn't cheat death. He died. It's that he is life. He is life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. Life is not going to die. He is life, eternal life. He is the spirit of life. That's who he is. I want you to look at this in John chapter 2. We're going to look at several scriptures. We're going to look at, what does this really mean to me? I mean, we know that, you know, around about 2,000 years ago, he was crucified. You'll find it in the historical books. You'll find it in the historical truth of the scripture that there is this man who we know is the Son of God, also the Son of Man, fully man, fully God, without sin, dies for people to pay the price of, you know, people's sins, and those who believe upon him, they're at peace with God. They know how to solve the sin issue. That's what separates us from God. It's not a complicated issue for us. It's a simple issue. If we just understand, I'm sinful, God's holy, how are we going to patch this up? How are we going to make the relationship right? We can't do it on our own. Because we've already sinned. And we can't foot the bill for it because the Bible says the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. God said, there's a problem, but I love you, so I'm going to solve it. I'm going to send my son. That's who God is. I don't know how you picture God in your mind. I don't know if somebody misrepresented God to you. I'm sorry for that. But you know, we have to look at who God really is. We can't just blame God for how somebody portrayed him. We have the responsibility to know who God is and what He's like and look past some of our preconceived ideas or what we were told or what somebody who professed to be a Christian and then how they treated us. And then we judge God accordingly. We want to look at God for who He really is. And He's one who rescues, He's one who helps, He's one who loves, He's one who gives all. Gave Himself. Jesus gave Himself out of love for the Father, obedience to the Father, and love for people. And He followed through not just with death, but He followed through with a resurrection. Which listen, the resurrection, it proves that He was the Son of God. He was who He said He was. And that He did conquer death and hell and broke the power of sin. And we're going to look at that and what that means for us. It's not just an event in the past. What does that event mean for me today and for all my tomorrows? John chapter 2, this is not where Jesus is crucified or where He rose again, but this is where He tells that He knows what He came to do and what He's going to do. You see, this is where they're coming to, people are coming from all over to worship at the temple and bring sacrifices to God. And they are mistreating God's temple area. And Jesus turns over the tables. Maybe you heard that story of the money changers. He turned the tables over and they were selling sacrifices, which wasn't wrong to do for people who traveled a long ways, but where they were doing it and how they were doing it. And I talked about this recently, that it was in an area of the court where Gentiles who came to worship God could be. And they took away that place of prayer by doing these kind of things. And you know what? Jesus got upset. And He turned over their tables. Well, after this happened, I want you to look at verse 18 and 19. It's right after Jesus says, you know, how dare you turn My Father's house into a marketplace? His house is to be a place of prayer, and the zeal for God's house consumes me. Then it says in verse 18, He says, then the Jews demanded of Him, God's people, the religious people, they demanded of Him, what miraculous sign can You show us to prove Your authority to do all this? And Jesus answered them. He said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, they understood the temple to be the building, the stone, the wood, the gold, that building. Jesus wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about His body. And we know in the New Testament that Paul refers to our bodies, our personhood, as temples of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was saying, you destroy this temple right here, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it back up. Jesus knew what He was coming to do. He was coming to give His life. And He was going to raise from the dead. And He was going to break the power of sin. He was going to defeat death. He was going to conquer hell, take the keys. And give life to people who believe in Him. Came to redeem people, rescue people. He came to do what His Father wanted Him to do. I love the world so much, Son, I've got to send You to rescue them. Because we are separated and they are sinful. And I'm holy, and I can't change. It is who I am, but they cannot be in My presence. So go rescue them. And so He sends His Son Jesus into a sinful world, and He lives among them, gives His life, and then makes a way, a passage, a way of peace that they can be restored to God, that you and I can be restored to God. I don't know, that's good news to me. Because I don't know where you go for, you know, forgiveness or to take away shame or to take away guilt or to take away embarrassment. I don't know where you go to take away condemnation. You can't, you know what? You can't take a pill for that. It might affect your feelings, but it's not going to change the fact that we've got stuff to deal with. And God sees it because He looks upon our heart. He knows things about us that nobody else sees or knows. He sees the real us. And he knows that we need a Savior. You and I need a Savior. And so Jesus tells him, he says, "Here, I'll give you the miraculous sign. I'll let you know what authority I do this by. You destroy this temple, and I'm going to raise it in 3 days." Jesus was talking about his death. And we know, we call it Good Friday. And then we say things like, Sunday's coming, right? It didn't end at the cross. It wasn't over. He finished the work in paying for sin, but then he conquered what gave death its power. And we're going to find that out in the scriptures here in a few minutes. What authority? In other words, prove to us. You know, we say things like that. We do. We can't blame them. We say things like that. I would worship you and I believe in you if you would. If you would come down to this room in the flesh, and you would, or if you would do this, or you would do, then I would know that you are God. That's what they were saying to him. And Jesus said, okay, I will. I'll show you a miracle, and I'll show you by what authority I do this. You destroy this temple, and I'm going to raise it in 3 days. Why don't you look at John chapter 14. This is what this means to us. John chapter 14, verse 1. It says this. Jesus is talking again, and he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not tell you this. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, understand this, if he's going to prepare a place, he's expecting them to come along, right? He's expecting you to come along. If I go to prepare a place for you, understand I will come back and I will take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the place where I'm going. Listen, God has this plan, and he carries it out. And Jesus knows what's ahead of him. He knows the cross is ahead of him. But understand, he also knows the battle and the resurrection is ahead of him. He told us. He told them, I'll do a miracle. You're going to destroy this body, and I'm going to raise it in 3 days. And later on, he tells his disciples in another place, and this isn't just for them, this is for all who believe, all who follow him. This is the good news. He goes to prepare a place for us. And if he's doing that, that means he is anticipating, he is counting on us being there with him. Our funerals are not the end. It's not over. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. This will turn to ash and be gone. But our spirit is eternal. And where is it going to be? Who is it going to be with? See, this is good news. You and I could not believe in the resurrection. I don't care, you know, if we say things like, well, you know, they're in a better place, or, well, I'll just be in a better place. Without Jesus, there is no better place. He is the one that proved that there is a resurrection of the dead. That he is spirit and he is life. Death could not hold him. So he goes from there to prepare a place, knowing that there are those who believe in him who will come to spend eternity with him. I'd like to be there. You can be there. We say things to comfort ourselves all the time. Well, you know, at this their funeral, it's, well, you know, I'll see him again someday. I'll see her again someday. I know this. I've been involved in a lot of funerals. And we comfort and say things like that. But understand, it's about faith in Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we know him, we know the way. And if you know him, you know the truth. And if you know him, he is the life, and he gives life. That's who he is. That has to impact our everyday living, not just, oh, well, when I get there, when my time comes. This is what it means for us. It means life, eternal. Forever. Forever. No dying. Oh, we may have a funeral if we go, you know, our body wastes away, we wear out, our life expectancy, it's over in life, we know it, but our spirit lives. It is eternal. This mortality will put on immortality, the scripture says. That which is temporal shall put on something of permanence. See, understand this, that is sown in weakness shall rise in strength. That's what Jesus did. That's what the scripture says, all those things. Let's take a look now at the account in John chapter 20. This is the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. You know, it's 3 days later, after the crucifixion, after Jesus died and they took his body. She shows up. She shows up and he's not there. The stone's rolled away from the tomb. He's not in there. She goes back. She tells the disciples. John runs on ahead. Waits for Peter. Peter walks in. He's not there. They leave. And now we pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, this is a beautiful picture, by the way. I love this picture. Mary's crying. She's there. She looks into the tomb and she's crying. And she looks at where Jesus is laid. And there's two angels. One sitting on each end of where he was laying. I just picture them kind of swinging their legs. I don't know. It's just like, you know, they're not bothered. They're not worried. This is where Jesus was. He's alive. They're sitting there. And they're, I don't know, just kind of, you know, I don't know, in a good mood. If angels have moods, I think they're in a good mood. I mean, that's how I would be. I'm like, well, we've been waiting for all eternity. I'm so glad that I was one of the two, aren't you? Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of angels. If they envy, they were in envy. I want to be the one. I'll go. Let's see, give me two volunteers. I mean, every angel wing would shoot up. I just see this picture, and I get so intrigued. I'm so glad they included these little details. And they say, you know, why are you crying? And they're swinging their, I don't know, I think they're swinging their legs. I'm not adding to the scripture, I'm just telling you what I think. We'll stick to the scripture. I'm just sharing some of my thoughts. This is happy. They are not crying. It does not say that the angels are there and they're weeping and they're grieving. They're not standing at attention. They're sitting down where he was laying. There was a Starbucks nearby. They are happy. This is good news. And people don't know it yet. They just think he's missing. He's gone. I know, you're thinking, oh, Randy, just stick with the scripture. And saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this time, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. She tells him why I'm crying. She turns around. There's a man standing there. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking it was the gardener, she said, Sir, have you carried him away? Tell me where you put him, and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. All he said was her name. Like, I know the answers to the questions I just asked you. Mary. Do you ever do that? Have you ever, you know, been around somebody and all they do is say your name, and when you hear your name, you know who it is that's speaking to you. You don't have to see them. They can be in the other room. They can be behind you. They're out of your, and they just say your name. Because why? They know your voice. He didn't come out and say, I am he who you are looking for, Mary. He didn't do that. All he said was, he said, Mary. It doesn't say he did this, but I'm sure he wasn't Mary. He was like, at that point, after his questions, I can see him. He's leaning forward and he just says, Mary. And then she realizes it's Jesus. I want to know the Lord like that. Where when he calls my name, I know it's him. Because I know his voice. Because I've been around him. Because I follow him. Because I read his word. Mary knew his voice because Mary, she'd never forget Jesus' voice. I mean, she's the sinful woman, right? She's the harlot. Living a life of sin. And Jesus talks to her about forgiveness of sin. And don't keep doing that. Where everybody else was casting stones and ridiculing her, Jesus came and gave her good news. Whether she ever saw him again after that, she'd always know his voice. It was the voice of peace. It was the voice of rescue. Well, she did see Jesus on other occasions. She was around to hear him teach. She knew his voice. And this time, when she heard her name, she knew his voice, and it was the voice of life, the voice of hope. You see, that's what the resurrection gives us. It gives us life, but it gives us hope that this is not all that there is. There's more. There is life beyond what we know it. And that we do not have to fear death. We don't have to fear death. Because there's life. There is life that's everlasting. And Jesus proved it. He told that he would raise himself in 3 days. He rose from the dead, which means he conquered death. And to conquer death, he had to conquer sin. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Really, the whole chapter is about the resurrection of the dead. And I'm not going to read this whole chapter to you. But he talks about, and he reasons, Paul, who is intelligent, but he also showed up with God's power. It says he didn't speak with persuasive words, and maybe he wasn't persuasive in person the way that he was an orator. But his thought and how God inspired him and how he reasons with God's wisdom and God's reason, he goes through this chapter and talks about the resurrection of the dead. And even to those who don't believe, and yet how they do believe and how they do hope there is. And he talks about the resurrection of the dead. Just read a passage here. But Christ has indeed, verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or passed away. For since death came through a man, which man did death come through? Adam, right? First man, created by God. He sinned. And when sin came, death had its power. So through this one man, death came. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam, in Adam all die, so in Christ we will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the fruit, the first fruits then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Hear that? That's a phrase that's got to catch us. Those who belong to him. How do we know that we belong to God? Because we put faith in him. It's about faith. We are saved through God's grace, through faith. Let that phrase catch you. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, let that phrase catch you. That life is given to those who belong to him, those who have faith in him. Want that to grab you this morning, and also grab the rest of us in this room, that reminds us that putting faith in Christ at one point doesn't provide some type of security. It's an ongoing, increasing, developing faith that we continue to belong to him. It's not the rhetoric of just one prayer. It's the ongoing life and faith in Jesus through all our days that we continue to belong in him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Later in the chapter, it quotes from another part in the Bible. It's verse 55. It says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" I love that sound. I do. I love that sound. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Understand, in the next verse it says it, and I'm going to talk about this just for a moment. The sting of death is sin. You see, that when Adam sinned, things changed. When Adam sinned, it opened up a door for death for humanity. Sickness, bondage, habits, evil to lurk and have its way. All of that came together. You see, what gives death its power is sin. Because if there was no sin, there would be no death. And how do we know what sin is? Well, God's law, in the same verse. Law is what gives sin its definition or its power. And because of sin, it gives power to death. So understand that when Jesus conquered death, he not only paid for sin through his blood, but when he conquered death, it proved that he annihilated and overcame sin. Because death had no hold on him. Death could never hold him because he had no sin. How do you and I get to the place where we have no sin? We've already committed sin. That means we're doomed. Ah, except through Jesus. His blood is payment for my sin. And if I believe in him and I am washed in his blood, it takes away sin. And now death does not have a hold on me. Do you understand what his resurrection means for you? It means that all your sin can be washed away. And if all your sin is washed away, then death cannot have its hold on you. But that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the sinless one. That's what his resurrection means for me. Yes, in and of itself, it's a miracle. It's a great event. It gets my attention. What excitement. Wow, wish I could have been there. It'd be worth seeing. But I didn't live then. I live now. But what does that event have to do with me here? It's that Jesus came to rescue, to show kindness to people who didn't deserve it, people like me. And if I believe in him and the power of his blood that he shed on the cross, I apply that blood through faith to my life, that God now looks through Jesus to saved humanity who believe in him, those who belong to him. And if he sees that there is no sin, then death does not have its hold. If I reject Christ, I continue in my sin. And when my life as we know it is over, I don't escape spiritual death, eternity. Because the wages of sin is death. And death will have me if I don't believe in Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the message of hope. It gives me hope. It gives me, you know, to be honest with you, not that I want to die now in my body and step into eternity. It's not that I want to do that. But you know what? There's a part of me that says when that time comes, I don't know. It's like, what's on the other side of the door? You know? Give me door number one. It's like there's still hope. It's not like, oh, well, it was over. I guess I had a good run. There is a heaven to gain. For those who belong to him, they shall see it. Death won't have its hold on you. Now your question might be, okay, I asked forgiveness of my sin, I put faith in Jesus Christ, and I turned away from that moment of prayer and walked in my life and I was mindful of God, and then you know what? I sinned. Well, look on your left and on your right. So did they. Look to the front. So did he. But the Bible instructs us that when we sin, we repent. We go back to God. We say, forgive me. I don't want to continue in that action or that attitude. I don't want death to have its hold on me. And you love me so much. I love you back. You've been so good to me. I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to be where you are, and you are the life. Look, turn to the person next to you and say, I got good news for you. Death does not have to have its hold on you. Yeah. For those who are in Jesus Christ, death will not have its way with you. Hell cannot hold you. It was not made for you, for those who belong to him. Hell was not made for you. Heaven was made for you. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall also be. He prepares a place for you where he is, so that death and hell will not have a hold on you. He was crucified, dead, buried, descended into hell, conquered sin, conquered hell. He beat death because he's life. It couldn't hold him. It couldn't hang on to him. It had to throw him back up because of who he is. His disciples said, we don't know where you go. And he says, you know. He says, we don't know where you go. And we don't. Thomas says, I don't even know how to get to where you're going. And Jesus says, sure you do. I'm paraphrasing. He says, sure you do, Thomas. Sure you do. You know me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. If you know Jesus, he's the way. If you know him, he's the truth. If you know him, he's the life. What a great thing. I could never conquer sin on my own. And therefore, I can't conquer death. And if sin is found in me and I die, then hell is where I go. But if Jesus came to rescue me, and I really believe that he did, and I believe in the power of his blood being shed to wash me of my sin, he gave his life, and he descended into hell and rose again, then he's the way to pass from death unto life. He's the truth. Because there's all kinds of ways that people say there's a way to get to God. But he's the truth. He said, no one goes to the Father in heaven except through me. There's all kinds of philosophies and thoughts, but Jesus is the truth. And he is the only one that is resurrected from the dead. He is the life. That's what the resurrection means to us. That's why we can come into a place like this and give praise to God even in the middle of challenges in our life, because there's hope. We know that this is not all there is. And when you live with that kind of eternity and hope inside you, you just begin to look at this life very different. That this is not all there is, and this is not forever. That we can go to a place where there's no more sorrow. Check that out. Huh? No more sorrow. You know what sorrow is. You've lived in this life. You've been heartbroken, hurt, abused, victimized, don't understand things, and things were lost, and things were, and you just, sorrow. And we've grieved, and we've cried, and we've done all these things, and then what we do is we build up barriers so that we don't ever get hurt again. And so we keep people at a distance, and we try to deal with all this sorrow and stuff. And hey, listen, for those who are in Christ, you get to go to a place where there's no sorrow. That's what the resurrection means. Listen, if you are filled with heartache, then you are a perfect candidate to believe in Jesus, because he gives hope, and he's the truth. He keeps his promises. You destroy it, I'll raise it in 3 days. Jesus was crucified and rose again 3 days later. See, the resurrection is not just an event. In and of itself, it is marvelous and miraculous. And he deserves all praise and glory and honor from it. But what does it mean to me personally? Do I just go to church on Easter and let Easter year after year just kind of pass by and I go through life? What does the resurrection mean to me? What is it supposed to mean to me? How am I supposed to understand this? What is this whole forgiveness of sin and with not dying? It's like we talked about. It's what the scripture says. We are washed in his blood and forgiven, then we have no sin, and therefore death doesn't have its hold on us. That's why asking forgiveness of our sins and believing upon Jesus Christ and allowing him to change the direction of our life, that we live different, think different, begin to act different and talk different, and we go through that process, is so very important, because it's all on this side of eternity. And it's how we know that we belong to him. So that when that time comes, we're washed in his blood, and death doesn't have its hold, and he did not build a room in vain, but we could be there with him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.